This morning I want to share some thoughts with you about doing what you can. There's lots of things we cannot do. And one of the challenges in life is to not begin with the I can'ts. Many people, when you ask them, say, well, I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't. And what I want to do today is reverse it around and look at what we can do. We certainly can't do everything, but there are things we can do. And how do we go about doing the things we can? The story that Nell read for you comes from Isaiah, the 6th chapter, the first 8 verses. A very powerful story about Isaiah encountering God. And whenever someone's trying to encounter God, they always use this weird and crazy language. You know, earth shaking and weird creatures and 6 wings, 2 doing this, 2 doing that, and 2 doing something else. And there's always that sense of incredible amazement and mystery when people are trying to describe who God is. And that's what you see in the early stages of that passage. And then usually when people walk into the presence of God, they realize the incredible difference between God and the little old me. They see God as the infinite one. Excuse me. And then they recognize how inadequate and how tiny we seem to be. And Isaiah feels that very strongly. And then God does something through the seraphims and makes that act of grace that comes where Isaiah is released and forgiven for what he has done. And then a question comes, who will I send? And in that last verse, Isaiah then describes it. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. And Isaiah knew that he couldn't do everything, but he was willing to do what he could. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. In Matthew's gospel, there's this great passage in the 25th chapter where Jesus is telling the story. At the end, these are the words. Truly I tell you, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And so this morning I want to talk about one of the ministries of grace, and that's the ministry that we have involved in the One Roof Diner. If you have never been to the One Roof Diner, it's up on the corner of Simcoe, Brock and Water Street. And it's right across from Victoria Park, and this is the picture of the front door. And it's the place where people gather who have very little. And the One Roof Diner is a place that is involved in feeding the people who are homeless and the people who are without food. And the goal is to provide one hot meal a day. And our ministry with the One Roof Diner has been growing strong, and it's beginning to shift and change. And I want to talk about how important these ministries are. If you look throughout the scriptures, there's 2 groups that right across all the scriptures are identified as really important to God. One is the poor, and the other are the orphans and the widows. And all the way through the scriptures, you get these themes of people being called to look after these people in need. In Psalm 82, the 3rd verse says, defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. In 1 Timothy 5th chapter, 3rd verse, this is the New Testament, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. Then in John's gospel, if you have 2 shirts, if you have 2 shirts, give one of them away. Now, gentlemen, when you got dressed this morning, how many shirts are in your closet? Anybody have more than 2? 25 in mine. Right? If you have 2 shirts, if I walk in my closet, I see only 2 shirts, Jesus says, give one of them away. and give them away to people who are needy. He said, if you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Proverbs 31st chapter, 2 verses says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of those who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And then in Proverbs again, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. And so, God in Christ really sees the significance of people helping those who are disadvantaged, those who are poor, and those who cannot speak for themselves. And so I want to talk about the One Roof Diner. And to do this, I want to invite the two ladies with the what we call the One Roof Diner hairdo to come forward and share with me. And so Anne and Wendy are advocates of the One Roof Diner. And so what I invited them to do is come and have a conversation with me. I'm going to ask them questions, and they probably think I'm going to ask the questions I asked them in Worship One, but that won't happen either. That's a little hot there, Larry. So Anne and Wendy have been sort of the two main people in this ministry. And what I want to do is talk a little bit of the ministry with them and then talk about what our need is within the congregation. So first of all, what made you guys want to be involved in the ministry of the One Roof Diner? So somebody has to grab the mic, okay?
I think for me it started with the Ministry of Compassion, and I found that it was very eye-opening to see what people, the way people were so needy. They needed all sorts of things, including support, someone listening to them. And so when the One Roof Diner came along, I thought, well, you know, this sounds very interesting. And then Anne and I talked, and we said we would like to work together. And so that's where my interest started.
So how many times, Anne, have you been involved with the One Roof Diner?
Well, Grace started in September of 2017, and I started out helping twice a year because there were about seven teams of two that would take a turn. So that fall and the following year, I probably did it three times. But this past year, we have lost a number of our team leaders due to pulling back or health problems, or the numbers are down, and Wendy and I have probably done it six or eight times maybe this past year.
Okay. So what makes this an important ministry for Grace to be a part of?
I really feel it's part of our vision statement, the past one about going out beyond our walls, and the current one about engaging community. So it's a passion to serve, and I've really, really enjoyed the experience up there. And I really want to thank all those that had a leadership role and all of you who volunteer each month. It's a real help and a real blessing, and I enjoy it immensely.
So what are we looking for and trying to get from the congregation? What kind of response are we looking for, Wendy?
We're looking for some more leadership. We are very, very blessed in having people sign up every month. In fact, I was looking today at the back, and we have people signed up right into June as volunteers, but it's the leadership, which is usually two people planning the meals and then buying the food and getting it over to Peter Pauly at Kenner. They are the ones that do the preparation of the food and do a wonderful job. And then getting it back on the Friday, picking it up, storing it over the weekend, and then doing the ministry on the Sunday. But we do have some things in place that may help people. Anne and I have volunteered. We both like to shop and like to find a bargain. So we have said that we will, with the leader's permission, of course, we'll either choose the menu or choose it in consultation with them, and then do all the shopping and take the food over to Peter on the Monday previous to the Sunday that we're serving it. And then from there on the Friday, the leaders would be responsible for picking it up and going ahead through the weekend.
So how many groups do we have? How many leaders do we have at this point? And how many are we looking for?
At the moment, we have three teams of two people. And we would probably like three more teams of two people. So we were looking for maybe another six individuals that would step up and help be leaders for the meals.
So we have lots of people that want to support by coming to the meals.
Yes.
So what do I need to do if I was thinking about being a leader? What would that mean then? You want me to do what specifically?
Well, there's two ways you can go. Either you can take on the whole responsibility of choosing the menu, buying the food, taking it over to Peter, and then picking it up and storing it for the weekend. Or if you want to have Ann and I buy the food that you've chosen, or we can even take charge of the menu. We do have a number of menus that we found that are very well liked and are relatively inexpensive, especially if you can find, you know, the meat on sale, that kind of thing.
So what are the menus that I could choose from?
Shepherd's pie, which we are hopefully doing in February. Pulled pork. We do hot dogs, which sounds, you know, like hot dogs, but the people at the One Roof Diner love their hot dogs, and we did it in January with a corn potato bacon chowder, and it went over very, very well. So those are three. Where's the other ones?
We're doing ham and scallop potatoes, and I believe we've done turkey at Christmas one year.
So there are different menus that I could pick from, okay? And so say I wanted to do ham and scallop potatoes, then what does that mean if I want to volunteer? So then I say, you go out and do it?
You could say that to us for sure. We usually buy potatoes, and we take those to the school along with the ham. The ham, if it's not already pre-cooked, they will slice it for us, put it in pans, and all we will need to do on Sunday is put it in the oven and reheat it. Same with the scallop potatoes, would be all cooked, and we would just need to put them in the oven and warm them up as well. Perhaps cook a vegetable while we're there. And lately we've had congregational help, which is really appreciated for desserts. We've been asked to supply brownies, and cookies, bananas, and this month we're hoping to get oranges or clementines.
All right, so why do we need to do this as a church? Why don't we just, we have money in the budget for this, so why don't we just give the money and say, you know, here's what we do. We give you money, and good luck. God bless you. Why not just do that? And then we don't have to worry about anybody helping out.
It's a mission that I've found opens my heart. It just makes you more aware of what people on the street really are coping with. And I found since I've done it, and I think this is so important for us to all open our hearts and our eyes, that when I walk down the street now, downtown particularly, I don't walk past people anymore that you obviously know are street people. I talk to them. And it's like they can't believe that somebody is actually engaging with them. I don't always give them money, but I always ask them how they are. And sometimes I'll say a prayer for you, and they just light up. It's beyond their understanding of people actually looking at them as a human being, not as a person standing on the street in ragged clothes with a knapsack on their back.
All right, so the last question, we got to wrap up soon. How would Grace be different if we didn't do this ministry? What would change in us if we just decided to not do it at all?
That's a tough one. I think we'd be a lot poorer for the fact that we weren't out there helping those in need. It's a service that I feel that we should participate in. It's a passion of mine that these are needy people. They're just like you and I who have fallen on hard times. And I really feel in my heart that we are doing something for the community and beyond our walls.
Okay. All right, well, I want to thank you guys for being willing to risk coming up here with me. It's not as easy as you think. And maybe some other day I'll get somebody else to come up and we'll see what that takes us. But thank you for what you do, and thank you for your part in the ministry of Christ with the One Roof Diner. So thank you. So I want to close. So these are pictures of people at Grace that have been helping through the years. And as both Wendy and Ann mentioned, we have lots of people that come up and actually help out on the day. But we really need some people to step up and provide the leadership so that it can happen. Without the leaders, it doesn't happen by itself. And it's an incredibly important ministry, because when we touch the lives of these people, we are touching the life of Christ. And this final quote by Pope Francis says, "In the poor and the outcast, we see Christ's face. By loving and helping the poor, we love and serve Christ." It's a great challenge to work with people who are poor, because there's a huge need within our community. And most people kind of would like to just see the poor go away, you know, and I saw that certainly in the summertime. I did a wedding after the Tent City stuff up there in Victoria Park. And we just sit and talking, and the conversation moved to this whole Tent City thing. And one set lady said, "You know what, I'd just like to give them something. I'd like to give them a one-way ticket out of Peterborough." And there's a part of people that just want the poor to be sectioned off, to go away. So we don't have to look at them. We don't have to see them. And I think it's important as a church to be walking with the poor, because that's what Jesus did. If you look at the scriptures, you look at the stories, he did not spend a lot of time with the ministers, the scribes, and the Pharisees, and the rich people. He spent most of his time with the people who were poor. It's important for us as members of the congregation to walk with the poor, and that's why we do the Ministry of Compassion in our collective kitchens, and why we do the outreach that we do to Honduras, and why we're involved in the One Roof Diner. And it takes energy, it does take effort. But when we touch the lives of others who are in need, we are in fact touching the lives of Christ. Because Jesus said, when you do something to the least, you do it unto me. And so my hope is that between this service and the first service, that we will get just 6 individuals who will be willing to serve twice a year, to serve the poor within our community, and help them know by our presence that they are cared for and they are loved, not only by people of grace, but by God. Amen.